our guest, a returning champ, covering the Ducks via Long Beach for Scoop Duck on the X platform. Check out M. Torres Sports. Welcome back, Max Torres. Max, how's life down there in L.A. County?
It's good. It's good. Thanks for having me back, Steve. Good to be with you. It seems like we're getting out of the tail end of a pretty nice heat wave for us. So nice for it to be cooling down a little bit. And it's been great to be back on the recruiting trail covering some high school football down here.
You know, covering this program, living there, I'm always curious. For a moment, 3 years ago, it seemed like USC and UCLA would be parting ways with Oregon. Of course, now they are all still members of the same conference. How would you describe, I guess, the reputation or maybe how Duck football is viewed in an area obviously dominated by the SoCal schools?
I'd say overwhelmingly it's viewed very positively in Southern California, and I think part of that is because there's so many Southern California natives on Oregon's roster, so you just kind of naturally create that connection. And it's definitely gotten more positive in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years maybe, because Oregon's been doing really well on the field, and USC has not really reached its standard of play as a traditional blue blood program. So I think that Oregon kind of capitalized on a little bit of that void that was created for a top team on the West Coast. And I think USC has the resources to get back to that point, but Oregon's firing on all cylinders while USC feels like they're kind of, you know, trying to find their footing now. So overall, I'd say Oregon's viewed very favorably down here. A lot of recruits that I talk to down here out this way grow up, you know, dreaming of playing at Oregon or watching Oregon on TV, playing video games as the Ducks. So it's looking really good for Oregon down here.
You know, I thought USC made progress last year, especially on defense after they were awful in 2023. They had a lot of fourth quarter tight losses, and obviously living in such a big media pocket and the Trojans being the local team. I'm just curious, are fans high on this team? Is there heat on Lincoln Riley? What's the buzz where you are about USC early in the 2025 season?
Early on here, it feels like there is some enthusiasm and some excitement around this USC team. Certainly off to a decent start here in the 2025 campaign. There's a lot of new talent and some new staff additions for Lincoln Riley and the Trojans, with Trevon Reed coming over from UCF to take over the cornerbacks for Lincoln Riley. And then, of course, you had Chad Bowden come over from Notre Dame in the personnel department. So recruiting is totally reinvigorated down here. There's a ton of confidence and excitement around that. But those 2026 recruits aren't going to be helping the Trojans this season. So I think there's a lot of confidence in the continued growth of the defensive line, like you mentioned, with that improved defense, a lot of beef added in the trenches. So, I mean, there's confidence around these guys that they are more equipped maybe than they were last year to do some special things. I think some intrigue around Jaden Maiava as the new starting quarterback for USC this year. And then some really good wide receivers with the likes of Makai Lemon from Los Alamitos down here. He's a SoCal native. And then Jacoby Lane should be one of the top receivers in this next year's draft. So I think there's definitely some enthusiasm around the Trojans, but I think definitely some frustration as well, because I think Lincoln Riley's kind of fallen short of the big picture expectations since he's been at the helm.
Talking with Max Torres, Scoop Duck, you just appeared with Rufino and Joe. Joe De Leon's been a regular guest here, and the focus was Oregon players, the NFL draft. The program just had the most Ducks drafted ever. So give me kind of synopsis. Who did you talk about? Who on this roster, be it for the coming year or overall, really has the attention of pro scouts?
Yeah, so Joe's, you know, one of the best in the draft sector of this industry, and he was really high on Kenyon Sadiq, Mateo Uyunglele, and Amari Washington as well. So we talked a little bit about how Oregon's been incredibly effective in their use of the transfer portal, their hit rate, you know, taking guys that maybe aren't the most high profile at their schools and then, you know, elevating them. And I think there's no better example of that really than last year's defensive line. You look at Jordan Birch, who was a former five-star recruit but never quite put it together while he was at South Carolina. He became an NFL draft pick at Oregon. Jamar Caldwell was over there at Houston. Not a major big-time program. He comes to Oregon and really solidifies himself as a draft prospect and is doing well in the NFL. And then, of course, Derek Harmon became a first-rounder. So there's a lot of excitement around the defensive prospects on this team with Mateo and Amari being the headliners. And then Kenyon Sadiq is a guy that Joe was also really excited about and was a little bit, upset that there wasn't more tape to evaluate him on. But there's a whole lot out there through these first 2 weeks, whether you're seeing him hurdling guys as a playmaker or getting his nose dirty in the blocking for a run game or, in a screen pass or something like that for his teammates. So those are kind of the ones he's most excited about. I think the interesting thing was Dante Moore. We talked about him quite a bit, and he had mentioned that he doesn't think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that he'll head to the NFL after this past year, which kind of led into the conversation that maybe 2026 is going to be the year that Oregon can really, really make a run. But also, it's not if the Ducks are taking some drastic step back this year.
When you looked at the first two games, Montana State, an actual powerhouse FCS program, and remember the struggles a year ago against Idaho, then Oklahoma State, a power conference team. Max, in your wildest, most optimistic thoughts, did you ever think the first two games would end up with a combined score of 128-16?
I didn't. I really didn't. I was definitely on the more conservative end of predicting, blowouts for the first game especially, just after what we saw from the Ducks come out of the gate last year against Idaho, some shaky offensive line play. Obviously, we know that some injuries definitely contributed to that, but they weren't exactly coming out the gates a-blazing, so I wanted to wait for Oregon to put it on tape before I kind of put any confidence in that, and then you have Mike Gundy's comments about NIL and resources just really adding fuel to the fire. And after seeing Ducks versus them this week, you could tell that Lanning had those guys ready to go. So, they're firing on all cylinders right now. They're making all the right moves. Dante Moore looks legit, even though he hasn't faced any serious competition just yet. So he hasn't been truly tested. But, Oregon's lining up to play the games in front of them, and they're absolutely destroying opponents. So that's really all you can ask for at this point in the year.
Talking with Max Torres of Scoop Duck, certainly a reason they're in the shape they're in is despite the losses to the NFL or guys running out of eligibility is what Dan Lanning and his guys have done on the recruiting trail, top five class 2025. What could you tell us about how things are rolling along for 2026 and just Oregon recruiting in general? What's standing out?
Oregon's doing really well in the 2026 recruiting class. They got 17 verbal commits right now. Four of those commits are five-star prospects, Steve, which is on pace to be the most that Oregon's ever signed in a single class. You got guys from all over the country, and an average commit rating here of 92.65, which is among the very best nationally. Average distance away for a recruit is just over 1,500 miles. So they're going all over the country to identify and find the best of the best, on pace to sign the top prospect from the state of Alabama for the second straight year after flipping Naeem Offord from Ohio State last cycle, the Birmingham native, and then you got Anthony Tank Jones out of Mobile committed right now. But all of these guys are going to continue to be recruited by other schools, and this staff knows that. So they're trying to keep these guys committed, and I think they're also maybe doing a little bit of extra work along the interior of the D-line and the linebacker core as well to try to add some more depth there. But this is the number three class in the country, and number two in the Big Ten, I think, only to USC. So they're rocking and rolling, and it looks like they should be on pace for another top five class under Lanning come December.
Max, about a week ago, the NCAA voted to move forward this proposal that takes the two transfer portal windows, cuts them to one 10-day starting in 2026. My thought is once you know all the rules, the advantages are at best limited. You follow this stuff really, really closely. What's your take on if this became reality?
Yeah, it would definitely be, a pretty significant change, and it could come during the playoff, which I think would maybe not be the best for Oregon, because they are one of those teams that expects and plans to be competing for a national championship every year. So it would be a challenge in that regard, but I do feel like it would kind of help put some guardrails on just what has been the Wild West of free agency with the transfer portal. You have guys entering the transfer portal like during the season, and then you have people that are opting to sit out and redshirt in some cases. So it's just been wild, and I think that fans and administration and coaches alike have all been wanting some kind of guidelines here. So maybe this isn't the perfect situation, perfect solution, but I, from the reading that I've done on it, I think making January continue to make it a recruiting period, and maybe making December dead for the entirety of the month is kind of what I've seen. I think that could be a net positive. But it's just something that you're going to have to juggle if you're an elite program like Oregon that is expecting to be competing in the playoffs when that January window potentially comes around. So kind of just in wait-and-see mode right now. I know Lanning said today that he's looking kind of in favor of just one portal window, but he kind of wants the season to be kind of wrapped up by January 1st, just so you know what you're working with. So there's going to be some challenges that come with it, but it's just, I think, encouraging, or at least positive, to see some regulation hopefully being put in place around the portal.
And the last thing I want to get to is, in particular, this secondary. No unit took a more substantial hit. I mean, I think six are either in the NFL or just not at Oregon. One of the experienced guys, Jaleel Florence, has really not registered. You know, so Peyton Woodyard have the pick six. You see the size for sure, but a lot of youth. What's your read on the back end of this 2025 defense so far?
So far, so good for Chris Hampton and Rashad Wadud there in the secondary, Steve. It's a young group that clearly has a ton of talent. You've seen the length on display as well, some good athleticism. I'm just looking for this group to be really disruptive this year, and they got started with that Peyton Woodyard pick six that you mentioned. But they're going to continue to rotate guys. Clearly, they feel like they have something special with Brandon Finney Jr., the true freshman, getting the starting nod at corner, and a redshirt freshman like Ife Obadegwu also earning a starting nod. I'm going to be interested to see where Theron Johnson kind of fits into this equation when he comes back and is healthy. We haven't seen him through the first two games. Maybe he'll make his return in week three when he returns to Evanston, Illinois, where he went to school at Northwestern before joining the Ducks for this season. But the secondary looks pretty good so far. Haven't really faced a super significant test yet. I mean, I think you could make the argument that even Penn State wouldn't be the biggest test just because they're not known for their receiver play, but Drew Aller is a heck of a quarterback, and then you know that there's going to be another good challenge waiting for them later on in November when the likes of Jacoby Lane and Mekhi Lemon, who we talked about at USC, come to town.
Folks, he's Max Torres, a returning champ to our show, loading us up with great info and takes on Oregon recruiting, the SoCal scene, and more. Online, check out ScoopDuck.com on the X platform. Follow, use at @MTorresSports. Max, appreciate the time, the insight. You be well, and look forward to catching up a little later in the season.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
All right, take it easy.